You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Yo, however, you're not with Phil Williams today. Phil's on the road. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune, filling in for Phil, and happy to be here. On the other side, controlling everything is Boomer. Boomer, what day is it, man?
Oh, you know what today is? It is hump day. So we got to play it.
Go with it.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Got to play it every week, sir.
Why do I feel like we're doing a drive time show here from the 90s? That's what it felt. I love that. Now that we've established it's hump day, hey, we're going to jump right in with our first guest. We know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to invite into the show a Christian author from Cullman, Alabama, Karis Snyder. Karis, are you with us?
I am with you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. And such short notice, we've had you on Tribune Unscripted and Trustful. And you and I were emailing back and forth this morning. And I was thinking, you know what? I still need an extra guest for the radio show this afternoon. This fits perfectly. And we already know your message, and we know it's a great one. So happy to have you on Right Side Radio with us this afternoon so you can talk a little bit about this. Post-pandemic, mental health has become a major issue for a number of reasons. Let's talk a little bit, Karis, about the impact that the pandemic had on children and what they're dealing with right now.
I love that question, and you're right. It impacted them greatly, children of all ages. You've got four-year-olds all the way up to eight-year-olds who are graduating high school. And if we think back, there was about 2 years of time there where they were somewhat isolated. They were out of their routines. They were out of the classroom. They were away from their friends.
Right.
And it was a constant time for many of them, maybe of trauma. School was a safe place for a lot of our children, and their home was not always that safe place, and that's where they were kind of stuck. So now we're seeing for a lot of our children that anxiety is not just impacting us as adults.
Right.
It's the number one mental health struggle for our kids of all ages. And so they're not sure how to cope. They're not sure. You know, they may be wondering, what if something else bad happens? What if I get pulled out of school again?
Right.
And so it's a constant living on edge and this being overly nervous and afraid about what might happen. And that's heartbreaking for us. So what we need to do is help our kids learn how to cope with these difficult things mentally right now.
Right. We're seeing mental health manifest itself with our young people dealing with so many just bizarre issues across the spectrum, things that we never thought, or at least I never thought I would have to sit down and talk with my teenager about and say, look, some of this stuff you're hearing, this just isn't real. Are you seeing that in your work and as you go around promoting your books?
You know, I am seeing that. And, you know, they're getting a lot of confusing messages too, right?
Right.
I mean, they are being bombarded with all of these ideologies that are just not based on truth.
Right.
And then they are being caused to feel afraid that if they stand up for truth, or they stand up and just say, you know, I don't agree with that statement, then that impacts them mentally because they're afraid of how that's going to make them look. And you know, as a teenager, they want to be accepted.
Right.
They want to be a part. And so the world is kind of playing in on that. And so that's where our kids and our teens need us to come in beside them and acknowledge that this is a hard season right now. There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to help them to know that you're not alone. Here is some practical skills you can use. Here's some wording that you can know. And they just have to know sometimes when we stand up for truth, our pastor says that we're being winsome weirdos. We're going to be a weirdo, but we're standing for the truth, and it's going to benefit them in the long run.
That's right. And we're told to set ourselves apart from the world. So
right.
That's exactly where we're supposed to be going with these things, to God.
Yes, that's right. And we need to remember that it's okay for them to say it's hard, it's scary, what if I'm alone, and to not dismiss those things for them, but to let them know that we understand that all of that is hard and difficult, and that we're going to help them as best that we can navigate through those difficult waters, and to know that God allowed them to be kids and teens for such a time as this. And so our role is to equip them for the battles that they're going to face.
Let's talk about two of the books you've written, Anxiety Elephants for Girls and Anxiety Elephants for Boys. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I happen to personally know adults who have read your Anxiety Elephant books and found them quite helpful for them. So I don't know that we should center too much on girls and boys because these books are wonderful for anybody that may be dealing with a little anxiety in their life. Can you tell us more about them?
Sure. So the Anxiety Elephants books for girls and boys are 90-day devotionals for that tween age group, your 8 to 12-year-olds. But I have found that 13 and 14-year-olds love them. Even adults, like you said,
yes,
love them as well. and the basis of this book is I really take these young children, these young teens, through stories throughout my own life, my own childhood as a teenager, of how anxiety affected me. We didn't talk about it back then. We didn't really acknowledge what was going on. So what we do in this devotional is give them a scripture, acknowledge that anxiety, and then give an action step, one tiny thing that you can do to face that anxiety through the day so that it does not steal your life away. You're able to face it, move through it, and live the life that God has called you to. And there's even a spot in those books where they can journal, they can write their thoughts, write their prayer requests, or even draw if they're more of a visual person. And so my own daughters, I have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old, they inspired me to write those books because they saw my adult Anxiety Elephants book. And they said one day to me, "Mom, can you write a book like this with words that we can understand?" And God really used them to open up my eyes to see, hey, let's not wait till they're adults to equip them.
Right.
Let's do that right now. And as I see things unfold in this world, I'm understanding more and more why He compelled me to get that message out to the world right now.
And I was remiss for mentioning the Anxiety Elephants for Girls and Boys. And you're right, I should have brought up the original Anxiety Elephants, the 31-day devotional that you wrote. We also have talked about the Carline devotional first time we interviewed you. How does that connect? Is there a book for the Carline devotional out yet? And is it similar to your Anxiety Elephant 31-day devotion?
Sure. So Carline Mom Devotional is going to be a little bit different. It's a 100-day devotional for mamas who are working hard to get everybody everywhere they need to go. And Scott, I know you and I talked, I need to write one for the dads.
I can't believe you haven't added dads to the title.
I
was a Carline dad.
We're going to work on that. We're going to get that too. But so the Carline Mom is going to be more focused on everything that moms deal with, from the overwhelm, stress, yes, some anxiety, trying to find their space in those friend groups, you know, wondering what is my purpose after our kids are all grown up and we're not doing their laundry anymore, those type of things.
Right.
Whereas the Anxiety Elephants devotional, it focuses completely on anxiety. So Carline Mom is going to definitely deal with those issues, but there's going to be additional devotions in there, not just geared towards anxiety. And because I live my life still, I'm about to head to Carline right now. Because I live my life there, that was another book idea that God kind of led me to write. And so that one is going to come out August 29th. So when the fall school year starts, all of those mamas who are listening right now are going to want to get that book to have with them while they're waiting in that Carline or when they get up in the mornings to drink their coffee. It's just going to be a fun, encouraging book that I can't wait to get into the hands of moms everywhere. But Anxiety Elephants, you can go grab right now and read, especially now as everyone is really trying to focus more on their mental health and to acknowledge that maybe we're all dealing with a little bit of anxiety. And so how to respond to that in a healthy way.
Right. And we should mention that book is available at Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and I'm a Kindle user, Amazon Kindle. You can download it for your Kindle.
That's right.
As I'm listening to you talking about this, and you and I have talked before, I was, because my wife is a school teacher, you know, I was the car line dad. So I kind of learned a lot about what moms deal with. That's about 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour out of your afternoon to just sit there and wait on your kid to get out of school. You may want to market these books together. My 16-year-old started driving to school 2 weeks ago, so that took away the anxiety of having to be in car line every day at 2:30. But it has replaced it with a whole new anxiety that nobody prepared me for as I watched her drive away for the first time by herself. So you just may want to go with both of those books, a package deal.
I like where you're going, and I may have to follow up with you because I have a 14-year-old that's turning 15 soon, and she said to me, "Mom, I get to learn how to drive this year."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, that's right." So I felt a little flutter in my heart as she was talking about getting behind the wheel, and she said, "It's got to be like driving a golf cart, right?" And I was like, "Oh, No. We have a long way to go.
We got a long way to go." And we've talked before, and you know, because you are friends with my son and daughter-in-law, that my son and my daughter are 20 years apart. So that's just long enough to feel like you're raising an only child for a second time, and to have forgotten all the anxiety I went through with him. But it's a challenging moment, and I think your books will come in very helpful. Karis, I wanted to mention to our audience here that you do a lot of public speaking. You do a lot of coaching with people. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you might be able to help a group or someone who's listening in on the show today?
Absolutely. So as a speaker, I love talking to groups of women. I do conferences, retreats. I get the opportunity to go into schools, public schools and Christian schools, and talk on a plethora of topics. I do mainly focus when I go into schools, helping students deal with that anxiety. I also do teacher trainings as well so they can kind of recognize some things that they might can add to their classroom. And part of those school visits that I do are author visits where I go in and talk to students of all ages about what that book process looks like, what it's like to work with publishers, how the book goes from a manuscript to a real hardback book in your hands. So those are some fun things that I do. And when I speak with women's groups or churches or businesses, I also talk about that mental health aspect, but also how can we deal with stress? What are some things we can do as moms that feel overwhelmed, that feel alone, that just want a community in their life? They just want to know that they're following the passion and the calling that God's given them. And that's what I do as a coach. If you feel stuck and you know that you need to move forward, that there's more that you need to be doing with your life to live a life fulfilled, but you're not quite sure how to get there, as a coach, I help walk you through that, how to do those steps one at a time. And so if people want more information, they can go to my website, which is Karis Snider, CarisSnider.com, to get more information. And I would love to just connect with people for speaking or coaching, however best I can serve.
Karis, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story with our audience. We look forward to having you back at Unscripted at the Tribune very soon.
I can't wait. Thank you for letting me hop in with you today.
Thank you, Karis. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us. Wednesday afternoon. Good Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us here at Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Butford from the Trussell Tribune, sitting in for the former Senator Phil Williams, the King Commander of Right Side Radio. Phil's on the road today, and you're stuck with me. I'm so sorry for that, but looking forward to spending some time with you just the same. You just heard from Karis Snider. Karis is a Christian author from the Cullman area and is the author of Anxiety Elephants, for tween girls and boys, and Anxiety Elephants 31-Day Devotional for Adults. And I hope you enjoyed that. We have had her on Tribune Unscripted in Trustful, and she was a hit with our audience. A lot of families are dealing with mental health issues, anxieties, especially post-pandemic. A lot of our young people are facing things that they've simply not had to face and talk about and discuss before. I highly encourage you to take a look at Kara Snyder. That's CarisSnider.com. If you're dealing with some of these issues in your home, great Christian consulting there from Karis and great advice, and her books could be a big help to you. So take a look at that if you have a chance. Coming up on the show at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a little break in a few minutes, and when we come back from that break, we'll have Paul DeMarco. Paul is the director of the Jefferson County Republican Party. Always very insightful. He is our political writer at the Trustful Tribune and really does a great job of keeping his finger on the pulse. As you know, right now the Alabama legislature is in session, which means none of us are safe. Anything could happen. Even with the Republican supermajority, we see some very strange things coming out of Montgomery, and it kind of makes you wonder if some of our elected officials are as conservative as the people who elected them. We're going to talk with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson about that at the 4 o'clock hour. In between, at about 3:30, we will welcome Stephanie Smith onto the show. Stephanie is the director of the Alabama Policy Institute, one of my favorite people in the world. She is actually in Montgomery testifying today regarding the school choice bill. So we're hoping that by the time we get her on the air, she can give us an update on what happens in the House Education Policy Committee meeting today regarding the Price Act, the school choice bill, full school choice bill that has been proposed for Alabama. We've already seen what the Senate Education Policy Committee did, where Senator Donnie Chastain pulled a fast one and sent the bill after the hearing to another committee, which is a classic stalling tactic in the Alabama legislature. If you have not read Phil Williams' op-ed on that, the Price Act got shafted or got punked, you need to find that. You can find it at TrustfulTribune.com, and you can find it at 1819news.com. And check that out, because he told the truth, and we're seeing shenanigans in Montgomery that we're unfortunately very accustomed to these days. Doesn't seem to matter if the Democrats are in control or if the Republicans are in control. When they get to Montgomery, they forget the people that sent them there, except to give us the shaft on the reasons we sent them there. It happens all the time. Pretty full show. I'm excited to be here. Looking forward to spending the rest of the afternoon with you guys. If y'all have anything that you want to talk about, you know how to call in and get with us. And we would love to hear from you if you've got something that you want to share, or if you've got something that you would like for us to discuss. We'll be happy to hear it out and see if we can make that happen. Again, we're going to take a short break in just a few minutes. When we come back, we'll have Paul DeMarco, Jefferson County Republican Committee Chair, and Paul will catch us up on all the goings-on that he's aware of in Montgomery. Hopefully we can get some idea of where this session is going and if they're actually going to do something for the conservative voters in Alabama. You stay with us. Hello, welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, filling in today for Phil Williams. Phil's on the road. We're not going to waste any time going to our next guest. Want to get him on as soon as possible and see what information he has got to share. This is former Senator Paul DeMarco. Paul is the award-winning political writer for the Trustful Tribune. He is also the chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party. Paul, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott. Former, I would say, but I'm glad to be with you and look forward to speaking with you. I was actually in Montgomery today. A lot going on in Washington, D.C., a lot going on in Montgomery.
Well, we've got you on now. We have got Stephanie Smith coming on at 3:30. I believe she is testifying before a committee today, so she's going to give us an update when she comes on. What update can you give us right now on what's going on in Montgomery during this legislative session?
Well, we're at the halfway mark, so you know there's 15 or so more legislative days left, and the legislature will be adjourned, and I know that'll make the public happy.
Yeah. None of us are safe when they're in session, and that's
right.
It's so unfortunate to say with the Republican supermajority, but issues have come with those guys too.
Watch your wallets and purses.
That's right.
I think what's going to be interesting to watch, Scott, there's a lot of stories, and let me start with giving a little credit first.
Okay.
There's been some good legislation that
has
passed.
There has.
The fentanyl bill to target fentanyl trafficking passed. That needed to pass. The good time law. That passed needed to get passed.
I agree.
But there's some more legislation from the criminal justice perspective, the legislation regarding gangs, that needs to pass. I've seen some Democrats have opposed that. That bill to strengthen the penalties against the gangs, that needs to pass.
And that's a bill being pushed by Attorney General Steve Marshall.
That's exactly right.
It's critical for them and Paul, you understand this because you're also an attorney. That bill is critical for them to be able to prosecute some of this escalating violence that we see going on among young people.
And it stiffens the penalties for those who are in gang activity. It also requires them to be somebody to be tried as an adult, automatic tried as an adult.
Right.
Above age 16, and that's an issue with what happened in Dadeville. There's no question those individuals that are not of the age majority of above 16 need to be tried as adults. I saw that some of the Democratic leadership were opposed to that, and to me, I find that hard to believe that they would have opposed these individuals that were involved in, as far as I know, the worst mass shooting in Alabama.
Right.
Would oppose these individuals being tried as adults, but there's some of the Democratic leadership that are opposed to that.
Right. And ironically, some of the highest violent crime areas in the state of Alabama are in Democrat-controlled areas. So it's their own constituents whose lives are in jeopardy when they stand in the way of something like this.
Well, you've seen it around the country in San Francisco and Chicago and New York and right here in Alabama, the high crime, and it goes back to these policies of pushing no bail, pushing weakening the criminal justice system in Alabama, just like across the country. So those bills have passed. This gang bill is hopefully going to be up and get passed. But one of what to me is really interesting, Scott, is kind of a showdown that we might see in the last half of the legislative session between the governor and lawmakers regarding what are they going to do with tax relief.
Right.
Now, you and I have talked about, I wrote a column about it not long ago, that you look at some of our neighbors, Tennessee and Florida already don't have an income tax.
Right.
It looks like Mississippi and Arkansas are on their way to removing their income tax. So what's Alabama going to do? Well, it looks, you had the governor's proposal she gave in her State of the State where she said, $400 rebate per tax filer, $800 for family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was proposing, and there wasn't pushback at first about the legislature. But now there's been talk, and it was talk when I was in the State House, of removing the grocery tax, the 4% grocery tax.
Right, which is being pushed by the lieutenant governor.
And that looks like that's got some momentum. So the question is, you can't do both of them.
Right.
I mean, at least you're not going to see both of them pass this session with the amount of money that would take to pass both of them. And I don't think the legislature is going to do that. So the question is, which of those two will pass? Is the governor's proposal going to pass, or is the proposal in the and you've got versions in the House of Representatives, and you've got versions in the Senate.
Yep.
What's going to pass? Is the governor's proposal going to pass, or is the legislature's going to pass? Usually the governor's gotten her way with most of what she's proposed the last quadrennium, the last right. 4 years. Most of what the governor has passed, proposed, she's passed. She's also got a budget with a lot of issues, a lot of money being budgeted. Will she get what she wants, or will the House or the Senate to come up with their own version? So I think the big story, Jeff, is what's going to happen with this showdown between the State House and the Capitol.
Paul, help us understand. Governor Ivey, if we were to believe the polls, and I think we can look at the last election, one of the most popular governors in terms of approval rating in my lifetime, but she has routinely pushed legislation that goes against everything conservatism stands for, and she still maintains this popularity in a state that is full of conservative voters. How does she pull that off?
There was just a recent poll, you mentioned Morning Consult, and Governor Ivey was maybe number three in the country as the most popular governor, number three or number four in the country.
Yeah.
She had like a 63% approval rating versus a 33%, which is just unheard of.
Right.
I mean, it's just
right.
unheard of. Even Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt were at the 50% mark.
Yeah.
And you know, they're both pretty popular. So Governor Ivey, I mean, over, and she's going to end up having being the longest serving governor in state history, I think, when the governor is really good at connecting with voters, being pretty folksy, and you saw her ads. The question is, does it fit with what happens with the voters? Look
right.
at what's going on in Florida. Governor DeSantis just got lawmakers to pass a bill that would provide for the death penalty for child rapists. I think if you ask the average voter in Alabama, they say, why won't we do that here in Alabama?
Right.
You look at some of the legislation passed in Florida, people are saying, let's do that here in Alabama. So I think that's what we want to see here in Alabama. And, you know, the governor has, when it comes to pro-life legislation, the pro-abort reform, but I do think it is interesting to see this showdown between the legislature and the governor with regarding the rebate and the grocery tax. I think if you ask the public, they'd say, we'd like to see the grocery tax go away.
Right.
As opposed to a one-time rebate.
Well, Paul, we're spending about $500 million in a business recruiting slush fund to bring businesses to the state of Alabama. But as businesses start going through the process of site selection and looking at different states and different opportunities, what does that do when they look at Alabama, where we're still charging, or we still have a state income tax, when our, as you pointed out, our neighbors do not, when we're still charging full tax on groceries, when we have the lowest public education system of all 50 states in the country? What do corporations think when they see that, and they can go to Georgia, or they can go to Mississippi or Tennessee and get pretty much the same deal?
Well, there's going to be a reckoning. I mean, look, now let's just say this. Let's give the state credit. Mercedes, Hyundai, Honda, Airbus. Alabama has been very successful in recruiting a lot of these great companies. But
right.
to me, 80% of the businesses are small businesses. And we've also got to focus on what are we doing to take care of these small businesses.
Right.
The small mom and pops who drive our economy, you know, drive through downtown Trustville, through downtown Homewood. What you're seeing is these small businesses that are employing, you know, 5 to 15 people. And if you go out to the neighborhoods and you ask people where they work, that's where they work.
Right.
They're you know, I mean, obviously you've got the big employers, and it's great to have all of these huge employers, but I think it's a combination of both, Jeff. What are you doing when you're competing with the Tennessees and Georgias, and you look at our tax structure for some of these other states.
I think you're right. And you mentioned small business, and that is the largest employer in the state. As a small business owner myself, and I can give you a perfect example of where the pressures from Washington are affecting us. I looked at the other day at our credit line for our business, which we're not currently using, and with an interest rate over 12% because it's revolving credit, we don't want to touch that right now, and we're getting no relief from our state level.
Well, let me tell you, are your listeners familiar with the new interest rate bump for mortgages, the new extra fee that if you have a good credit rating, you're going to pay more to subsidize folks whose credit rating is not as good? So you're basically going to hurt folks who have paid their bills.
Right.
And you're going to turn that money around, and you're going to incentivize folks to buy maybe more house than they can ultimately afford. Didn't that get us into the housing crisis the first time?
Yeah, we've already gone through that.
Wasn't that
once.
Part of that? I mean, how many times do we have to see and repeat mistakes that were made? And we're doing it on the backs of the middle class. Oh, you remember Joe Biden? Oh, I'm not going to raise taxes on the middle class. When you raise their interest rate, their mortgage fees, an extra $40 a month, you absolutely are hurting the middle class. And these are folks who are paying their bills, and because they've got a good score and a good credit rating, I've been talking to realtors right now. They are furious about it. I've been talking to folks in the financial industry, furious about this new fee coming down from the Biden administration.
It's totally illogical, Paul. I mean, as you mentioned, we've gone through this. This is what led to the housing market crash that devastated our economy. What is Joe Biden thinking by returning to those type policies?
Look, you look at, did you hear about, you know, they're sending soldiers to the border, but they're not going to be standing guard at the border. They're to help transition people into the country. It is the, I mean, so you hear about that. You see what he's doing with foreign policy. I mean, every time, you see with the debt limit credit, and every time, you can name a category in this country and see how far this administration has failed. Look at the military and the recruiting numbers. That is a direct responsibility due to the failures of this Secretary of Defense, to the Chief of Staff, and to this president that does not put national security first.
Paul, let's shift back to Montgomery. There are two different bills I want to ask you about. Let's start with the Price Act. We know what happened. Right now, we should mention that is being heard before the House Education Policy Committee right now. There's testimony going on. That also has already gone to the Senate Education Policy Committee. We saw Senator Donnie Chastain, who chairs that committee, pull a fast one. At the end of the hearing, he sends the bill to yet another committee, which is a classic stalling tactic in Montgomery. Who is controlling this?
Well, I mean, you can look at the teachers' union. You can look at folks who are opposed to legislation. You know, here's the thing is, have an up or down vote. I mean, I think that's what most people say. Just have an up or down vote. And if it loses fairly, it loses. And look, people can when it comes to education, there are, you know, parents, first and foremost, because parents want to make sure that their kids get the best education, no matter where they live in the state.
Right.
But have an up or down vote and make these state representatives and senators, they have to have a tough vote, and they need to make a decision on how they're going to vote. And their district may want them to vote, but have the vote.
Right.
And I think that's the frustration is you see in Montgomery. But bring it up and have a vote. Give everybody an opportunity to go and debate it, spend days voting, debating it, but have the vote.
I think you're right. And you know, I want to talk about the ESG bill that Dan Roberts was sponsoring that I don't know if you've heard, but that we were supposed to have testimony in committee on that. And that bill suddenly got pulled from pressure from BCA. Are you hearing anything about that?
Well, and again, the concern with in the past, look, when Republicans took over in 2010, the Republicans are there with the business community saying, look at all the issues we've had. We had to pass tort reform. We had to pass legislation to make our state more business-friendly. But now you've seen some of the pushback from businesses when it came to the mandate, when it came to some of these other issues. And so you've seen a real maintain relationship between the public who support Republicans and conservative policy in some of these businesses. We don't want this ESG policy.
Right.
We don't want it. And yet there's a disconnect there. And so Republicans need to say, look, we're bringing this up for a vote. We have a supermajority here. This is what the public wants. And goes back to the top of our conversations. You're seeing those votes taking place in places like Florida.
Paul,
we
I'm sorry
to happen here in Alabama.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're coming up on a break. Can I hold you over for we've got a little short break, then a few minutes after that. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Hold on for us. We'll be right back to talk to Paul DeMarco. Here for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, and joining us is Paul DeMarco. He was with us in the last segment, gracious enough to stay over. Paul, we were talking about the sleight of hand we're seeing with legislation when it goes into some of these committees and either disappears forever or they use their stalling tactics by sending it to another committee. We've seen that happen on the Senate side with the Education Policy Committee on the Price Act, which was is the school choice legislation that's proposed right now. We found out this morning that Dan Roberts had proposed a bill to keep any government agencies from investing based on ESG, which we refer to as the woke scorecard. And suddenly Dan's bill is pulled from committee just hours before a hearing. I'm hearing Dan Roberts had nothing to do with pulling his own bill. How does that happen? Who else has the authority to pull a bill?
Chairmen of committee. So if you're the chairman of a committee, you're the king of that committee. You make all the decisions. And so here's what needs to happen, though. If your bill is basic, I'm not going to pass your bill, you need to go to the floor and say, if that's what we're going to do, then I'm going to hold things up.
I'm hearing that is about to happen. I'm hearing that's about to happen.
But you need to be serious about it and not just go up there and play a cat and say, I'm going to get a vote on my bill. And look, I had to do this to reform the Birmingham Waterworks Board 10 years ago. We had to do this. When it came to changing the form of government in Jefferson County, we had to do this. I mean, time and time again, you got to show folks you're there to come for business. And if they know they can run over you, they won't respect you, and it'll happen over and over and over again.
Well, I think you went right to the heart of it when you said the chairman is the guy in charge. We know that with the education policy move on the Price Act, that was done by Senator Donnie Chastain, who was chair of that committee, and called other committee members. I mean, that the Price Act had on that same committee had the sponsor and co-sponsor of that bill with Senator Stutz and with Senator Shelnut. They had no idea that was coming.
Yeah, and look, I was the chairman of a committee, and if we had issues, I would tell those folks in advance, say, look, your bill's either not going to pass or you got work to do. Go find some other committee member stuff, or you need to go, add some amendments, or you need to strike this portion of the language or whatever, but the way it is now. But, that's how you work with committee members if there's a bill that you've got, as you, the chairman, have issues with. So
don't blindside them.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Because what goes around comes around in Montgomery.
Paul,
you have
a
bill that you want, it's going to happen.
We've got 10 seconds remaining. School choice dead, or is it staying with us?
There's four more years. Remember, there's four more years. So, in this quadrennium.
Spoken like my political writer. Paul, thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely, Scott. Hope your listeners are well.
Thank you, man. We'll be right back with more Right Side Radio after this break.